I'm happy to be here with you today. And we're going through a series for Lent. And last week we talked about, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And so on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us some different ways that we can have more union with God, where we can become more Christ-like, where we can help ourselves become truly who we are. And so today we're gonna reclaim something. How many of you have heard of the phrase born again? Raise your hand. All right. Now, for most mainline Protestant pastors, meaning like Presbyterian or Reformed or Lutheran, sometimes they kind of cringe when you hear that. Because on the opposite side, you got the non-denom Baptist type of background. It's used in a much different way. And so not that born again is something that we don't believe in, but it feels like it's been taken. It's been used for something else. It's been used for that. That you're born again. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. You say the prayer. Jesus comes into your heart, and then you get this gift of eternal life from Jesus just like that. And that's what born again means, that you now have a ticket to heaven. Now, born again comes from this discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus, and Jesus talks about you have to have two births. One, your physical birth, and second, your spiritual one, where you are reborn through water and spirit. It's through baptism and through spirit. So you have to be born again. But we've captured it and used it in a way to say, these people are in and these people are out. Whereas when Jesus talked about it, it's about becoming a new creation, becoming a new person, becoming your true self who God created you to be. There's a story I remember one of my professors in seminary talked about. He was in a coffee shop in San Francisco, and he had a book called Christian Spirituality next to him. And somebody stopped by and asked him, are you born again? And he didn't know what to expect because it's San Francisco. One, they could be trying to bait him into a discussion and a debate and tell him how wrong he is. And two, it could be somebody who is maybe on that hyper-religious side and trying to convert the converted. It turned out it was actually somebody who was dealing with a drug addiction and had been going to AA meetings and sat down and talked about his story to him. And that gave a little more meat to the born again, that somehow this guy was becoming a new creation, someone new. He was being born again away from his old self. So I think this is a phrase that we have to reclaim in some way. It's kind of just been tossed around in non-serious ways, or this is, you're in, you're out, but let's reclaim it for what it is. Now we're going to go back a little bit further. We're going to go to Exodus, and a couple of months ago, we were doing a series on the wilderness, so we're very familiar with the Israelites' journey, and Moses, as he's going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let go of the Israelites as slaves, ask, who should I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. Now, back in this day, the Israelites, the word for God in the scriptures was Yahweh. But they couldn't say it. They didn't think they should say God's name that way. So they called God by a different name, Adonai. And God is reclaiming the Yahweh name. Within this, he is saying, I am, and at the end of that piece of scripture, he says, I am, and I am Yahweh. Trying to get the Israelites to realize that God is with them, that God loves them no matter what, even if they say his name. But it's God constantly trying to wake us up to that God is here. And then, as we know, going through the wilderness, that the Israelites started to let the wilderness dictate their story. They started to let the wilderness give them anxiety about what's going to happen tomorrow. How are we going to get to the promised land? Do we have the right leader? Moses is up on Mount Sinai long enough. Let's build a golden calf. Instead of letting God dictate their story for them. Their mindset was God is somewhere. We need to do good things to make God love us. They're letting the wilderness dictate their story. Now, our scripture today says a lot about being anxious. And one thing I want to get out of the way before we go any further is I understand that a lot of us deal with different anxiety disorders. So when we talk about being anxious, it's not, we're not belittling disorders that people have and the experiences they go through with those disorders. What it's about is these things that even if we don't have anxiety disorder, it's these things that we just worry about time and time again that keeps us from being in the present. So Jesus uses example of animals, right? He uses birds. The birds of the air, they're not storing up their seeds in a barn somewhere, but they are trusting that God's going to provide for them. We're always worried about the future. In this passage, the crowd that Jesus is talking to most likely are from the descendants of the Israelites. And so they're really worried about, in that time, where are we going to have food? And are we going to be clothed? Which is a little bit different than today. What are some of our worries? Are we going to have enough money for retirement? Are we going to have enough money for this or that? Is my car going to work tomorrow? Maybe some of us it is clothing. Maybe some of us it is food. That we're worried about where it's going to come from, where, how we're going to be provided for next. So we're always looking into the future with anxiety. What's going to happen? Because worry tends to be about the future, not about the present or the past. Worries and questions are asked by our false self. So false self, we could call it our false self or our flesh or our manufactured self or our mask. So that's kind of the false self, the thing we put forward in front of us to impress others, to impress ourselves. That's the false self. The false self cares only about surviving, about nothing else. No one and nothing else matters. Richard Rohr says this about the false self. The false self feels very inadequate, and it is indeed unstable in many ways, which is why we call it false. The false self is overwhelmed with its own unworthiness, psychological wounds, and its passing nature. The false self is constantly worried that you're not enough. This is not enough. Have you ever done anything in your life that afterwards you asked yourself, why did I do that? Anybody do that? Yeah. The false self convinces us that it knows what is true, it knows what is best, but all it is self-preservation, trying to keep yourself from being hurt, from growing. And that's all the false self is. Some wise words from Stephen Colbert. I think he gives a little insight of what a false self kind of is. He says, when I go into a McDonald's that has the calories printed on the menu, I pretend they are points and I'm going to win. So that's his false self, seeing that this food isn't good for him, that he's going to eat it anyway, so what he's going to do is make himself feel better about it. These are points. I'm going to win. I think sometimes the best religion, the best comedy, the best therapy points at the absurdity of the false self. Because it's fearful and untrusting of what is true. When you're fearful, you get anxious. When you get anxious, you get fearful, and you start to self-preserve. The Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is saying in the scripture today, is showing us how to have a better union with God, how to know that God is going to continue to provide for us. And this connects all the way back to Exodus, to the Israelites. And all through that time, God is still telling us, don't worry. I will provide the basics for you. Like for the Israelites, I provided manna, I provided shelter. Then when you thought you needed a God, I provided a temple so that, or tabernacle, so that you could know that I was with you. And yet, hundreds of years later, Jesus is here and Jesus is saying the same thing because for some reason, we can't get it through our thick heads. Because we let everything else in our environment, the way maybe we were raised, maybe what our culture tells us about ourselves, maybe what our church tells us about ourselves, our family, our spouses, we let that dictate what we see as our true self. But sometimes false things get involved. God's never left the Israelites. God has never left us. But yet we're somehow anxious about tomorrow. We're anxious about what's coming around the corner. Tax season is closing. April 18 is coming up soon. Maybe some of us are anxious about that. Maybe some of you just got a reminder that you have to go do your taxes. But God created us all, I think, with this divine spark. When God says, I am in Exodus, God is saying who God is, that God exists, and that God is behind all of our reality, that God is this kind of hum that keeps the universe together. And this soul that God gives us is a part of that. We're a part of that creation. Don't be anxious, because if you're a part of my creation, and if I love you just as much as those flowers that in the field that are going to get tossed away and burned in a fleeting moment, how much more do I love you? So to try and find our true self, to ease our anxiety, sometimes we can't get rid of all the anxiety. Sometimes we're just going to worry sometimes. But I think God's trying to help us, to remind us about some of the smaller things we don't have to worry about, that we will be taken care of no matter what. Brené Brown, one of our favorites here, says this: stop walking through the world looking for confirmation that you don't belong. You will always find it because you've made that your mission. Stop scouring people's faces for evidence that you're not enough. You will always find it because you've made that your goal. True belonging and self-worth are not goods. We don't negotiate their value with the world. The truth about who we are lives in our hearts. Our call to courage is to protect our wild heart against constant evaluation, especially our own. No one belongs here more than you. Being born again is about finding that true self that God created you to be. God created you, your heart, your soul, your mind. Being born again, it's kind of like a faith awakening. Something that we start to realize the ways we've dealt with ourselves, our families, the worry, the anxiety is no longer working. But God created you as a child of God, that you have worth within that, that you are meant to be here. And once you dive into that true self, when you get away some of the anxiety, the worries, the true self is harder to be hurt. Because you know your worth, you know who you are. There's nothing to prove anymore. There's nothing to protect. Because no matter what happens, you know that identity of being a child of God is the main thing. That is your true self. You know your worth in Christ. The great I am of God is continued in you, in your own small I am. And saying, I am beloved, I am here. Tomorrow is another day. Today has its own struggles. But today, right now, I am. If you think in the future, you can't be I am in the future. You're I am now. God is calling us to discover that I am of the true self, that we are beloved and children of God. When you discover your true self, you know you're loved, you're taken care of like the sparrows that don't hoard their seeds. You are part of it. But you must die to your old self, your false self, your manufactured self. You must die to your masks first. Put that old way behind you. Be born again into your true self that God created you to be. Now, there's this book called The Screwtape Letters, and it's by C.S. Lewis, and it's a dialogue between a servant of Satan and how they get different people to try and think differently and get away from God. And this book continues throughout time to have more and more wisdom, I think, as we progress. And in this, one of the servants, I believe, is talking, and it says, when God talks of their losing their selves, he means only abandoning the clamor of self-will. Once they have done that, he really gives them back all their personality and boasts, I'm afraid sincerely, that when they are wholly his, they will be more themselves than ever. The thing here is that when we fully trust in God, when we fully trust in our identity in Jesus, when we let go of all our anxieties and worries and have trust in God, that we're becoming the truer part of ourselves more and more when we do that. That we're being who God created us to be. And that scares people who are anxious and fearful. When you are free of that, when you have trust. Kind of end this and give a good illustration of what this looks like, I'm going to use a movie clip. And in this movie clip, it's from the movie The Truman Show. And The Truman Show is all about a false identity or true identity. And The Truman Show is about the show that was created for Truman. From birth to adulthood, he's been on camera the whole time. But he doesn't know that his whole life that he's living is fake. Until this moment, when he gets on a boat and tries to get away because he knows something's up, something's wrong, and then he hits a wall in the middle of the ocean. So in a way, if you think about Ed Harris's character, the creator, as being our false self, our ego, our manufactured self, our mask that says, no, it's not safe out there. It's safer in here. It's no more truer out there than it is here. And that's what kind of keeps us in this state of fear and anxiety and worry. That if we leave that, part of you is like, what else am I going to worry about? I need something to worry about. That's the false self saying that you have to hang on to these things. And Truman makes a decision that that is a lie, that he needs to go and be his true self because what he has been believing about himself and has been surrounded with has been a lie the whole time. Jesus calls us to that true life where we trust in God, that no matter what, God's going to provide for us. And it may not be all happy all the time, and it may feel real painful most of the time, but God's not going to leave you. God cannot not love you. So that's why I give you today that you let go of your false self and find your I am, your true self. Let's pray. God, help us live into our true selves this week. That we may continue to shed off the old self. That we become a new creation, be born again in Christ. In Christ's name, amen.